Welcome to the Princeton Laxcast. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined, as I am every week, by Princeton head men's lacrosse coach Matt Matalon. Coach, welcome.
Hey, Jerry. Happy to be back.
So let's talk about a few things. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the Ivy League tournament scenarios?
Sure.
Okay. Have you studied them?
Extensively, but I'm excited to hear your insight.
Well, if you've studied them extensively, you'll know that we have the same insight, which is that basically the easiest way for Princeton to get into the Ivy League tournament is to beat Harvard this Saturday, which is a 1 o'clock face-off on Sherrod Field, senior day. It's to beat Cornell next Saturday in Ithaca. That's a noon start, a doubleheader with the women. And then have Brown beat Cornell this week, and Brown beat Dartmouth next week, and Princeton's in the Ivy League tournament. There's other ways in that require a bunch of help. There's no way in that doesn't involve beating Cornell. There is a way in that involves losing to Harvard, and that's about it.
That's kind of where we net out. You know, I think, you know, honestly, as a coaching staff and a program, you know, we've got to handle our business first and foremost. So that's our primary focus. You know, in terms of getting help, it's never a situation you want to be in. You always want to control your own fate. And unfortunately, we're not able to do that at this point. So we've got to handle our business the best we can and hope things shake out in our favor.
Well, if Brown could beat Cornell on Saturday and Princeton can beat Harvard on Saturday, that makes the Princeton-Cornell game a play-in game into the Ivy League tournament, which would be a decent position to be in.
Of course.
So you have to root for Princeton, obviously, and then you need Brown to beat Cornell. Now, if Cornell beats Brown, it's still not mathematically impossible. The most likely scenario there then would have Princeton beat Cornell, Brown beats Dartmouth, you get into a three-way tie for third with Brown and Cornell. And then it's goal differential, because if all those things happen, then Princeton, Brown, and Cornell would all be 1-1 against each other, 0-2 against Yale and Penn, 2-0 against Harvard and Dartmouth. The next tiebreaker is goal differential. Princeton's -4 from the loss against Brown. The other two games haven't been played. So then that breaks the tie for third, and then you have the head-to-head winner gets fourth. So at that point, you would need Cornell to be ahead of Brown. So you need, if Cornell beats Brown, you need Cornell to beat Brown by fewer than 4 goals. And then you just got to go from there. Or if it's by more than 4 goals, Princeton has to beat Cornell by 4 plus whatever Cornell beats Brown by. So you got a lot of stuff that you can't control at that point. But
no, but all stuff we've kind of been through.
So your team is trying to do what it did a year ago and get into the Ivy tournament, which is win the last 5 games of the season, 3/5 of the way there, and some big challenges coming up. Harvard and Cornell, we'll get to all this in a few minutes, but let's talk about a few things from the Dartmouth game, which was 4-3 at the end of the first quarter and then 13-4 when it was over. Big games from a lot of players. Eric Peters seemed to have a good game. Andrew Song had another goal. That's 3 straight games with a goal for him, and I don't know if a Princeton long stick has ever done that before. I also have no way to look that up. So I have 2 choices. I could either say it's the first time and dare someone to tell me I'm wrong, or sort of ask, has anybody ever heard of a long stick from Princeton scoring goals in 3 straight games? I know it's only the second time in Division I this year that it's happened. Robert Kuhn from Hopkins did it in 3 straight games, including the game against Princeton. So they're the Kuhn and Andrew are the only 2 players in Division I to have done it this year at the very least. But so Andrew Song playing very well. Eric Peters had a good game.
Yeah, Dartmouth. You know, it's a good long trip up there, and, you know, it was a 4-3 first quarter, and then I think we were able to settle in. Eric was doing a nice job in cage backstopping us. Dartmouth's got some good players. They've got some good young players. But I think as we were able to kind of settle into our defensive game plan and start winning some of those matchups, it gave our offense a little room for separation. So we played some really good complementary lacrosse, you know, like you had said, getting goals from Andrew Song. We got a couple goals in transition as well. So when you can pitch in those and chip away at it, it was a very good performance.
3 goals and 4 assists for Michael Sowers. That gets – actually, I should say about Eric Peters. 17 saves and 4 goals against is outstanding.
It was great. 5 GBs, 1 caused turnover, so very good stat line for Eric.
10 of those saves came in the first maybe 18
minutes. Yeah, I think he had 8 or so in the first quarter. So.
Yeah, so when it was closed, he was making saves, or else Dartmouth could have gotten the lead. If Dartmouth gets the lead, they play with a different level of confidence. So.
Absolutely.
3 goals, 4 assists for Michael Sowers. He now has 237 career points. He is 10 away from Kevin Lowe's career record of 247. That record has stood for 25 years. Kevin Lowe, who's in the Lacrosse Hall of Fame, needed 60 games to score 247 points. Michael Sowers has 40 games played and 237 career points. It's extraordinary what he has done. You know, we can knock on all the wood you have here. If he doesn't get hurt moving forward, he is going to put so much distance between himself and anyone else who's ever played at Princeton or is considering playing at Princeton, that he's going to do to lacrosse record what Bill Bradley did to basketball. But what's your take on just all of the stuff that he has done?
I mean, it continues to be incredible. I mean, the young man impresses us every year, every day, every week. So it's been really nice, you know, and he does a good job of making everyone else around him better. And it'll be a nice recognition for him when he does get that point record. I know it's not something he's focused on, and it's not something we're focused on, but it is a very impressive accomplishment.
I mean, he averages close to just a shade under 6 points a game for his career. So if he has average games the next two, he's going to do it as a junior, regardless of where the what the Ivy League tournament plays out as. And that would be unbelievable to catch Kevin Lowe in his junior year. He's also first, second, and fifth right now on single-season points. And, you know, again, barring anything ridiculous, he'll be first, second, and third on the single-season points list.
Really incredible.
But it's also, he's not first, second, and third on a program that's never had any good players before. It's extraordinary. I mean, you know, there's been Hall of Fame guys here. There have been NCAA championship guys, pro guys, national team guys, going back decades and decades, and he's going to be, you know, 1, 2, and 3, and he's going to be so far ahead of everybody else in career scoring. It's amazing.
No, he's an absolute heck of a talent. You know, and I think, you know, I'm sure if he listens, he gets embarrassed hearing us speak about him. And I know that young man would prefer to play in NCAA games over any statistical record out there. So that's our goal as a program.
So Senior Day Saturday, and I went to Senior Day at Sacred Heart last week instead of the Dartmouth game. And I had thought about it. And I'm like, well, you know, it's like a 2 second ceremony when you walk onto the field. It's not that big a deal. You know, I'll go to the Dartmouth game. And I asked, when we were at Stony Brook, I asked you and the other coaches, like, you got to go to Senior Day. I was like, I do? Like, what's the big deal? Like, you know, my son wouldn't have even been that emotional if I wasn't there. But when I went, I got a much better understanding of what it is. And it's, you know, it's guys who came in together, who toughed it out, got to Senior Day with whatever level of success they've had as an individual or a team, but they're a class and they're teammates, and that's something that they're going to have forever. And, you know, to share that moment with each other, I think it was way more emotional than I imagined it was going to be, and I'm really glad I was there. And, you know, like, for me, Senior Day has always been, all right, you got to write up a script, and, like, it's going to mess up the timeline and all that stuff. And I really considered it from the point of view of what it actually means to the people participating.
Well, we're all really glad you went, and it is important. I mean, I get choked up thinking about it. I mean, these are a group of men. It's a group of seniors that have given a lot to our program. They've been through a lot. They've put a lot of blood and sweat and tears in it. And it's just, you know, it's a celebration of their careers and their success. And, you know, it's every year. It never gets easier. You never want to see these guys go. You become so close to them. They're a true part of the family. They help shape the future teams for years to come. So we put a lot on this senior class, and they've really, really done an incredible job. This will be a tough group to see go.
And you form relationships with these guys that date back years before they ever get here. So you've known these guys a long time.
It really is. I mean, I had the fortunate opportunity to be an assistant recruiting some of these young guys as an assistant, even if they were into the fold before I had even taken over. But yeah, that's just it. I mean, it's an incredible bond, and they've really done a nice job for our program. It's a really impressive group. It'll be nice to celebrate them on Saturday.
It's also a class where everybody has made contributions in their careers, and you know, it's a deep class. It's, you know, guys who've made a real impact. You know, it's some guys who, like Emmett Cordray, has waited until his senior year to have this breakout incredible season. Other guys have been in the same role since day one. Some guys have battled injuries. Other guys have been healthy the entire way through. So, you know, like Charlie Durbin missed a year because of his knee, and he's back having a big senior year. Strib Walker is the captain, who would have played more if he hadn't been hurt. Maureen missed a lot of last year but has been a contributor along the way. You know, I know I'm forgetting guys, and I don't want to do that. But, you know, just in general, it's been a pretty good class of you know, Aaron Roberts, another guy who
sure, Charlie Terry, Aaron Roberts, Terry, absolutely.
You know, and it's a very good class, and guys who've meant a lot to the program, even Alexander Fish, who you know, has become the manager as a senior, very important to him and a very key member of the program. So
sure, that's a guy that got nicked up injury-wise, and his body's having a difficult time healing, and he's a guy that couldn't step away from it. He wanted to be there to support his team and support his brothers and his class, and it's really incredible. It's a testament to that group, and as a coaching staff, we kind of start every year and kind of see where the senior's going to take us, and this has been an impressive group.
And it's you know, it's not going to be easy for them. It's the last time they're going to play on that field, and you know, that means a lot to them. It means a lot to their parents, a lot more to their parents than I realized until last Saturday.
Absolutely. It's 52 is a special place, and you want to earn as many opportunities to play there, and you want to cherish those moments. So, yeah, it'll be tough to see those guys go. It'll be nice to celebrate them, though.
What do you think when you see the different roads that they go down? So, you know, from your perspective as the head coach, or from my own perspective as sort of a very close observer of the program, you sort of look at the program as a whole, and it's easy to forget that these are all individuals who have their own individual goals, their own individual ways of how they want their careers to play out, and it can't play out that way for everybody because everybody can't play, everybody can't start, everybody can't be all Ivy. And you see, like, from when they get here until it ends for them, the different roads they take. And, you know, we talked about all the guys who got hurt, or you talk about guys who wanted to play more than they did, or guys who wanted to score more goals than they did, have to take a different role on, whatever it is. You see that from a team perspective, but then when you consider it from the individual and you see the impact it has on them and what they take away from that, I think that's the most fascinating part.
It is. I mean, you know, it's why I love athletics and I love college athletics. You know, you get to watch a team take shape. You get to watch a young guy grow from a freshman to a sophomore, you know, through his junior year, and now as a senior leader and a leader by example, and a leader from the front and serve from the back. It's always impressive to see. I think that, you know, it's more remarkable when these guys come back a year or two out, and they just kind of look back and reflect on their experience, and you know, and the wonderful things they're doing outside of school and after college is just amazing. But and that's a testament to our whole group, our alumni organization, everybody. But you know, our senior class, it's been a great group of guys. You know, I think from the, again, like you had said, they've held many, many different roles here. And I think when it comes down to it, I think they'll all, you know, some will appreciate their roles more than others, but what they'll be able to take away from it is an incredible experience in terms of building those bonds within, you know, just within a true team. I think that's what I most remember about my athletic career is just the teams you're on and the joint sacrifice and everything about it. So, you know, I hope we've prepared these guys well enough for the future.
Yeah, and the one guy we didn't mention is a guy who, you know, this is really important to the whole program, and he's had to, you know, he's had to put aside maybe what his own individual goals were for the betterment of the team, and I feel like he's done that in a very positive way every day. That's Dawson McKenzie.
Absolutely. I mean, Dawson is incredible. You know, he's like an offensive coordinator on the field. He understands everything. He's got a great pulse for our team. He does a really good job in terms of communication. He does a really good job in helping young guys come along. He does a great job in terms of recalibrating our team when we need it. So Dawson is, he's a huge part of this team. He's been great, whether he's been on the field or off the field or on the sideline. He's been a big influence.
So Charlie Terry, Charlie Durbin, Emmett Cordray, I'm just reading down the roster because I want to make sure we don't forget anybody, Mike Marine, Aaron Roberts, Dawson McKenzie, Fish, we mentioned. And that's a pretty good class right there, guys. Strib Walker. And, you know, it's a good class of good guys. You know, they've been great to work with. And, you know, they deserve a moment in the sun on Saturday. And that'll be senior day. And, of course, there's a game to be played as well, and that game will be against Harvard. And it's a must-win for Princeton. Well, it's actually not mathematically a must-win, but you don't want to go into it with that attitude. But the you know, what does Harvard bring? Because Harvard, by the way, is in the exact same position Princeton's in with all the same scenarios. So it's two teams.
Harvard's a great program. It's funny. We trade back and forth in terms of playing them on each other's senior days. No, they're, you know, Coach Wozniak's done a nice job with the group. They've got an athletic offense. You know, they've got some very good midfielders. They've got a couple of really crafty attackmen. They've got a good defense. They've got an experienced faceoff unit. So, you know, they're a heck of a program. They've done a nice job. You know, they've lost a couple close ones, but they're a good team. They seem to be playing good lacrosse right now.
And, you know, they're trying to bounce back from what happened last week. They had a tough one against Penn, and it's oftentimes it's very hard to play a team that's had to sit on a loss like that for a week because they know what happened last week and they want to get rid of that taste.
Sure. I mean, Penn's a little bit of a buzzsaw. You know, the faceoff guy probably got off and running against them. And, you know, that was a very high scoring game. So I'm sure their group's not happy up there. And I'm sure they're kind of getting organized and get ready to come down to Princeton.
So Princeton Harvard, that's 1 o'clock on Saturday. Senior day ceremony before that, big game as far as the Ivy League tournament is concerned. Then the final game of the regular season is next week in Ithaca against Cornell. And again, if you want the most simplistic thing for Princeton to get into the Ivy tournament, you need Brown to beat Cornell, Princeton to beat Harvard, and then next week Brown to beat Dartmouth and Princeton to beat Cornell, and Princeton will be the fourth seed in the Ivy tournament. There's other ways in that require a little bit more in terms of tiebreakers, but that's the most direct route. And so if you're a Princeton fan wondering who to root for this weekend, root for Princeton, root for Brown.
Yep, root for Princeton.
So, Coach Madeline, thanks for being with us here as you are each week. We'll talk again next week, and we'll see where things stand after this. There's only six Ivy League games remaining, this weekend three and next weekend three. It's amazing how fast it goes.
It really is.
So for Princeton head men's lacrosse coach Matt Madeline, I'm Jerry Price. Thank you for being with us here on the Princeton LaxCast, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton men's lacrosse.